no sense.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to download our podcast from Italy. I'm Jason.
Hello, and I'm Ashley.
And today we'll just spend the next half hour or so just recapping what's going on in our lives, what's going on in central Italy, and our little town of Piobico.
Listen, perhaps we should start calling it the Inconsistent Podcast, because we've been horribly inconsistent at putting it up. The last one we did was in November.
Was it November? I thought it was December.
It could have been the very end of December, but it was right after we went to the cheese, to Beltrami
did we talk about that?
Yes, that was the last podcast.
Okay.
Also, I want to pre-apologize. I am totally have a head cold, so I'm super nasally, snotty, blowing my nose, so we might have to push pause and let me cough a few times.
All right, very good. It yes. is the 26th of January. It's 7:20 in the morning. The sun is coming up over a frozen central Italy. It's minus 11 degrees centigrade, and that is 12.2 degrees Fahrenheit, so says Google.
This is when I'd insert a noise effect if I could.
Clear and cold, though.
And nothing sounds like the Snowmageddon my family's been having in Seattle, Washington.
My goodness. No. Clear and cold here, freezing in the morning, and then, you know, cold and clear in the afternoon, back to freezing at night.
Well, we've been walking, watching our neighbor's dog, who's out of town, a big, gorgeous...
No, the people are out of town, not the dog.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're watching the dog for our neighbors, and it's a big Rhodesian Ridgeback, and he's gorgeous. Zoom. And so we've been taking him on walks in the morning for about an hour and a half, 2 hours in the morning, and then about 45 minutes or so, an hour in the afternoon. And it's been a great excuse to walk the fields and the hills and everything, which we rarely do when we don't have an excuse to.
Just to get to see some different views of the valley and the house.
Because we've watched him before, and we'll go up into the hills. This time we decided to go into the fields, and we didn't realize half the fields were connected either by passable the streams and lake streams and rivers, and you can just walk across, or some of them have like little paths just wide enough for a tractor or like four sheep to get through. And it's really cool kind of exploring the fields. And we saw rabbits and deer.
Yep, we saw tons of porcupine holes.
Oh, big time. The porks are at work.
They are. I want to know,
if anyone knows, what time do porcupines go out at night? Is it talking close to midnight? Is it closer to 2 in the morning? I need to get night vision goggles. And I am interested, because there are so many holes out there. I wonder if either there's just really busy porcupine, a few,
they could be,
or there's like hundreds.
There could be boars too.
That's true.
Digging up with their tusks.
Well, whatever. There's a lot of holes out there. And it means we've been out there in the morning early when it's cold.
We have.
That's what made me think of all this, because he said it's negative 11. And part of why I think we're doing the podcast is to procrastinate going on the walk with the dog.
I know. He's sitting here. We have the fire. Well, we have a sad fire kind of half lit here in the kitchen this morning. The dog is next to us. And we're procrastinating, because it is just that blue cold out. The sun's just coming up, and the valley looks blue.
I just would like to say, we've been here for going on 5 years.
Yep.
It has taken us this long to figure out how to properly heat this kitchen. Can we talk about this for a second?
Absolutely.
So, we live in a stone farmhouse that's like 300 years old.
No insulation.
Yeah, oh, it sounds so cool and romantic. Well, in the summer, it's perfect. Bare feet, toes, it's nice and cool. You don't need air conditioning. It's perfect. In the winter, it can be cold and miserable. It took us our first winter to acclimate. I mean, we would just be wearing gloves and scarves and hats inside. Here's the thing. I used to think that the refrigerator was broken because it was warmer in the fridge than it was outside. And Jason
outside,
had to...
No, not outside. outside in the kitchen.
So Jason would say, no, you don't even have to put that in the fridge. Just leave it on the counter. The butter would still be rock solid hard. Nutella, same thing. Everything was just like a rock. And then last year we put up a... Well, here's the deal. We have a fireplace in the kitchen. We have no major... We don't turn on the heating in the winter.
We can't afford to heat. This house is big, and to turn the heat on and heat the whole house is crazy. So you just heat the rooms you're in. Well, that's great, but in our kitchen where
this is not how I grew up.
No, I mean, so, if you were cold in the winter, you turned the heat up and walked around in t-shirt and shorts.
Exactly.
Today I'm sitting in front of you in sweats, socks, slippers, a t-shirt, and a heavy wool sweater.
Yes. Ditto.
So you heat the rooms you're in Italy, and most of your house stays cold in the winter because you don't really go into those rooms. So our kitchen we would heat, but the kitchen has a huge door that leads out to another small room where our refrigerator is, like an entry room, and then outside.
And then all the way up to the hallway. So it's just this huge kind of windsuck effect.
And the other side has a big arch, which goes into the dining room.
So there's two huge holes without a door. There's no door to close. So it took us getting big sheets of plastic. Think meat locker. What would you say?
Yeah. So we hung, finally, year five, we hung plastic sheeting in the arch and in the doorway.
And it's
toasty beautiful. You come in the morning, and the room is still warm from the fire the night before.
You used to be able to see your breath in here. Jason couldn't even finish making, like, pasta and vegetables, because by the time, as soon as the pasta was done, the vegetables were already cold, sitting there for 2 seconds. And it was horribly hard, and now it's like, oh my god, two sheets of plastic, and our life is so nice and warm in here.
Yep, 10 euro worth of plastic, and we're good to go. But such is living in the countryside. We have no...
It's just interesting to mention. People don't think about what it's really like.
Once you get the stone house heated up, it stays... Think of like a hearth, a fireplace. It kind of... The stone kind of holds the heat, but... We have no insulation. The only insulation is the meter thick walls that hold the cool in the summer or hold the heat in the winter.
And literally, the only heat source is the wood from the fireplace.
Yeah. Well, we do have a heating system, but it sucks down liquid petroleum like it's going out of style. So it's not efficient to heat that way at all.
No, and in our little place, we have our little potbelly stove.
Which works great.
Mm-hmm.
So wood is what you burn out here, and it's the cheapest form of energy, and it's everywhere, so...
And you touch it 150 times.
Yes. Okay, well, on to more exciting and interesting things. We were gone from Italy. We took a little break and got out of here and went to warmer weather and then came back and got our head colds, as you can hear. But it takes leaving Italy to realize how much you love it and how much you miss it and how things that you take for granted every day.
It doesn't take leaving it, but it helps you remind you.
It reminds you. So what were the things that you missed most of all leaving Italy that you couldn't get?
Well, besides the view out of our front door, which is just spectacular, coffee! What would you say?
Oh man, coffee.
That was hard. We kind of were joking and even took a little video footage having our last cafe in Bologna before we left. And I almost now want to put the music behind it. Dun, dun, dun. Or like, well, it was horrible. We arrive and it's
instant. It's just terrible. When you wake up and you get to have this beautiful cappuccino every morning that's rich and
crema.
Yeah, it's really strong coffee, and then you can't even... There's no remote possibility of having anything like that, which it's just...
Then we found a place to have Cuban coffee, and we thought, oh, this is good. This is good. This is something different. At least it's not instant. And that was such a freaking production at this little restaurant for how long it took. Jason ended up getting upset and leaving and everything. So... Getting a proper cafe was just not a possibility.
Vegetables. We do not have... We're very, very lucky because the selection and quality of the vegetables, even at the crappiest little supermarket here in Italy, you know, leaving that and seeing terrible-looking vegetables and, like, all there is carrots and celery and not even celery. I never saw celery. Carrots and cabbage and potatoes, and that's it. I miss vegetables a lot, especially green leafy vegetables. What else? What else from did you miss from the motherland?
Sausages.
The meats.
Only because now that we're doing them, which we'll talk about later. But oh,
and
man.
The Italian people. Italian people are great, and
there's
they're
a
interesting.
In the eye.
Yeah, there's interesting. I love when they yell at each other. I love when everyone is friendly. It's just I really miss this place. There's something I can't. People. Who was asking me, because I was telling him that when we were on holiday.
Maybe Emma?
Maybe. And asked me, what is it? And I can't describe it. It's just this feeling. It just fits for me. So I did miss Italy. Thank you, Italia. I am back and very much, very, very happy.
Well, I think we realized for us this is definitely home.
Definitely. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
But being gone from Italy for more than a couple of weeks, what did we miss? What were the winter happenings that we missed?
Oh, well, we missed the Presepe Vivante.
What is
the
that?
The living nativity scene, which we were in and part of last year, and I was so excited. And we volunteered to be in it this year, but then we were gone. So, whew, next year, we've got to be back in. And it's when they... in Piobico, and actually many towns all across Italy, they open up the little cantinas in the old part of town and reenact scenes from Jesus' life or times, and there's always a baby Jesus by the youngest born, the newest born in Piobico. That whole family is baby Jesus and co.
Also, we missed this year the festival of Sant'Antonio Abate, and he is the saint, patron saint of animals, and they take everyone in the town of Piobico, every town, I think, brings all their animals to be blessed by the priest.
It's a sight to see.
It's hysterical.
From birds and dogs, like, you'd think, oh, your little domestic pets and something like, oh, and he brought his parakeet, that's funny. To shepherds with their sheep?
Cows, new cows, horses, pigs, goats, donkeys, you name it, it's there, it's hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to get some pictures from some people in the
Proloco. If you're on Facebook and you go to the Piobico Proloco site, there's photos from our village.
And it's hysterical, and I'm sad we missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
But coming up here, the middle of February, we will get to go to the Festa di Padellari. What is a padellaro?
That's someone who pans their shot. And last year on our podcast, we talked about this because we couldn't figure out what the hell this meant. And we were asking everyone, because it's like a saying.
You panned it.
Which you panned it.
Which means you missed.
It was really hard for someone to explain this. And so, what this event is it's at the sports complex in Piobico, like in the big gym. And the hunters who missed their shots, who weren't very good this year, they put on the dinner for the rest of the town, correct?
Yeah, and it's going to have boar on the menu, definitely. And it's a lot of fun. And this is the one last year where everyone danced, did waltzing in perfect synchronization.
Yes, and we tried to join in, and they asked us, so we were like pushed out of the circle to leave. I mean, they were in... It was pretty impressive.
It was.
I'll just never forget the hunter with the handlebar mustache who was out there just like perfect form and everything. And we were approached separately by like three different people saying, if you would like to exchange English lessons with dance lessons, let us know. Or just say, if you're ever interested in dance lessons, I'd be happy to share some tips.
So I guess they were not approving of our
No. They'd be horrified to know I'd have done music.
But since we've been back, we have been working hard.
We've been working really hard.
Yes. I got a sausage, all the equipment for making sausages. Every year.
We talked about it.
We did talk about it last
week. We put the picture up.
Okay, good. We go and make it with Vittorio and a friend of the doctor's, and we did it again this year and went and made it with him, but now I have all my own equipment, so I've been cleaning up the grinding machine. I got all the rust off the parts and really worked hard. It looks great. I have to paint it and just put it
on
my
cabinet. Any good tips for DIYers out there? Do-it-yourselfers who are
listening?
Oh, yes.
If you have rust on metal vinegar. You soak it, get a bowl, fill it up. Vinegar's super cheap. Fill it up with vinegar and drop all the pieces in there. And it comes off super duper easy.
And the thing that I read, which we might try, of putting all those little pieces into, like, a bucket of rice.
Oh, yeah.
You have so much, humidity in the air, it would be difficult to keep it.
You could also just stick it in a, well, you have to dry it real good. Did you notice how after we were done using all the parts and washed them, he put them in the oven and dried them off?
I thought that was a good idea, too.
That is a good idea. So, yes, the vinegar softens the rust. It won't take it away, but then all you need is a little wire brush, and it comes up beautifully.
Have you gone through two wire brushes?
I've gone through two wire brushes and four of the little spinny ones that go on the drill, the ones that are a brush that spin on the drill. Lots of surface area to clean. But it's almost done, and I'm really excited. And we have our friend Malud coming down from Zurich at the end of middle of next week. And we're going to make sausages.
Make more.
We have 90 kilos of sausages and salami hanging in our third apartment. 200 pounds. 198 pounds.
That's crazy. It is like a freaking meat locker up there. We've never had this much meat hanging up there at once. And there's still more to come when we make some with Malud.
And we have to make some for Chris and Teresa. Mm-hmm. And we have to make some for someone else.
Carolyn and Luke.
And Fat Zach.
So how many more kilos are we going to make?
I don't know.
But you said you want to get creative this time.
Well, the Vittorio and Gaggi are... Okay, first of all, let's go back.
Let's back it up to your sausage making, because that's what you did first.
Okay, so sausages... So all this stuff is very, very simple. It's all done with pork shoulder. It's all pork shoulder. And you just take the shoulder and you grind it up. For the salamis to dry them, you need 3.5% salt. So that means for every kilo, you add 35 grams of salt.
And for sausages?
30 grams.
Okay.
So 1 kilo, 30 grams of salt. And this is for when you cure them. Now, if you're going to eat the sausages fresh, you probably only put 28, 27 grams of salt per kilo of meat. Just because you need a higher salinity content because it's going to dry in the open air.
Side note. Glad you took a breath. You will end up eating them fresh and grilled.
Oh, yeah, we ate them for 4 days straight, and then we
so I'm going to say, from taste experience, and this is thorough experience, the little extra salt for the curing does not affect the flavor once it's hit the grill. It's still absolutely delicious.
Yes.
Did not deter me from eating those, like you said, for 4 days in a row.
Sausages take 3 to 4 weeks to dry. Salamis, like 6 to 8, depending on how big they are. We have some big boys up there now.
You know what was really cool? I was noticing last night, we were hanging up the salamis, and the sausages have been drying up there for almost a week exactly. Yeah. To see to notice the difference in color.
Yeah. Like, they get really dark.
They're getting dark so fast.
As the moisture goes away.
But you just really noticed how white and pink the fresh sausage or salamis were next to it. It was really kind of cool. I thought, ooh.
So we hang them from, I know we've been over this before, but we put bamboo poles hanging from the rafters and hang the salamis and sausages off hooks, and then...
And they need to not touch.
They can't touch each other, and every 3 or 4 days I go and move the sausages are on big link, big long links.
Someone called it a meat chandelier.
So you have to move them every 3 or 4 days because when they're hanging, some of the sausages do touch each other. So you just keep it moving. But it's a lot of fun. It's dangerous.
It smells good up there. It
does smell good.
Oh, and so explain the windows.
So we do it in the middle of the winter because...
On the second floor.
We leave the windows open in the room, and that creates a cross flow of air, and that slowly dries the salamis and the sausages. You only could do it this time of year because if you do it in the spring, summer, fall, where the air temperature is warmer, then it dries too quickly, and it creates something bad bacteria. I don't know. But everyone does their salamis and sausages. When you do it in the home... between December and February.
And we don't put any sort of...
No nitrates, no saltpeter, none of that crap. It's literally ground up pork shoulder, salt, pepper, a little white wine, and some, whatever other spices or whatever you want to put in it. But no saltpeter, no pink salt, no, I don't know. There's been a lot of questions about that crap. It's, you do not need that if you're using pork that you got from a, you know, if it's not industrial pork, you can definitely do it with that.
Are you ready to talk about Gachi?
Oh my God, baby.
He's been a disaster. So, we should say, first of all, before we even went on vacation, he was busting our chops saying, oh, well, you know, you probably won't even be making sausages this year because you'll be out of town.
Yeah, you'll be out of town.
You decided to take this long vacation, so I guess you don't want sausages this year. And it was like, hold your horses.
We do them every year at the end of January.
We'll be back. Relax. He's like, I don't know. The, you know, full moon might not be right. And it was just like, okay, relax. So we already were coming into it with him not being thrilled that we were on vacation. Because that meant we were grounded, vagabonding, not doing anything. And so then Jason is restoring this meat grinder station, buying all the parts.
I got this, whole thing from this little old lady and who lives next door to one of our friends who lives in the wine, the Marchigiani wine country. And it was totally rusted out and totally, you know, looked, the bones were there, but it was rusted out. He takes one look at, oh, you wasted your money. Look at this thing.
Soldi
buttato. So, wasted money, and so now that I'm getting it all cleaned up, he's like, okay. He hasn't said anything, but...
And
then I bought the, it's called an insacatrice. It's this metal, it's the stainless steel tube with a nipple on the end and a crank that you put the sausage meat into, and you put the casings over the nipple, and then the meat comes out of the nipple and fills up the sausages. The one that I got with this old one I bought was total, it's just a ruin. So I had to buy a brand new one. And when I did, he looked at...
First of all, it's enormous. He bought, like, the 10 kilo.
Oh, yeah, I bought the two bigger than what I needed, of course. But he looks at it, he goes... He's very worried that I'm,
getting to this on your own?
Yeah, that I'm going to do it on my own.
That and, you're breaking away?
Yeah. Oh, you made sausages and salamis one time, and now you think you know what you're doing. It's... Doctor, we've made them every year with you for the past 4 years. What are you talking about? We've made them... This is our fifth year doing them.
And then he says, oh, okay, so you go to the grocery store and you ask for the intestines. Do you know how many to ask for? Do you have a clue?
The casings? Do you know how many casings? I said, well, one matzah, a hand, like a bunch, should be enough for 20 to 25 kilos of meat. That was right. He was silent. Didn't like that answer because it was the right one.
Then he goes, so, huh. He kind of does his grunt as he's smoking his tree branch. And he says, what does he say then? He goes, you don't even know the type of pepper grind we use.
Yeah. How do you know how fine or coarse to grind the pepper? You know, we had to be in Victoria. We spent, and I know they probably did.
We had a whole discussion about this.
We were examining the
pepper before you even got there. So you don't even know about the pepper grind. And then anytime Jason suggests adding fennel, which, hello, they do in Tuscany 45 minutes away. So this
they
is
add
not
fennel seed, or
of,
they'll add pepperoncini, the little pepper flakes, instead of black pepper.
We're not, like, coming up with some crazy recipe that, you know, from
said,
Timbuktu.
What if we did something different?
He goes, well, you like the sausages we make with Victoria, right?
Yes, of course.
So why would you change them? They're delicious the way they are. We keep it that way. Discussion is over. It's so funny. Like, he's just open and close.
He's very worried that now I don't know. Do you think he thinks that I won't need him to...
Uh-huh.
But we'll do it together. Now we just don't have to borrow poor Vittorio, who's...
80-something years old,
and we come, you know, we come on a Wednesday and say, all right, you ready to make over 100 pounds of salami today?
And Gachi shows up at God knows what time. We show up at 8. Oh.
But it's a lot of fun. It's funny, and if anyone has any questions or anything about making them, just shoot us an email. I'd love to. I'm really on a making sausage and salami kick, so... It's what I've been doing lately.
Well, that's what everyone out here has been doing. It's cool. It's that time of year.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness. Getting ready this morning to start the day. Sicilian blood oranges are just starting. Big glass of blood red orange juice every morning. A wonderful, wonderful start to winter's day. But as we sit here and drink our juice, let's do our word of the week.
Yes, I think it is only fitting in what has been going on in Italy this week for the word of the week. Is sciopero.
Sciopero? What's sciopero?
Che cos'è? It is to strike.
Oh my god. In case you haven't picked up a newspaper, Europe's in a little bit of trouble these days, and we usually don't talk politics or what's going on the podcast because we keep it lighter, but Italy has been on strike. The fishermen went on strike. The port workers, the longshoremen went on strike. The truck drivers went on strike. The pharmacist went on strike. The bank went on strike. Who else?
It's like anyone who wanted to out here.
Basically. And this is the week of everyone going on strike. So, I hope no one had to travel to Italy or around Italy the last few days. But it's been interesting to see everyone's different perspective and everything's gone up in Italy in price a lot.
Gas
has gone up 20%, and cost of everything from food and gas and to taxes and the pension contributions, and yeah, it's been crazy. You take off for a few weeks and come back, and it's like, holy crap! It's a whole new world. Everything got really expensive all of a sudden. But say it again.
Sciopero,
to strike.
Yes.
All right, bring us home. I'm ready to take this dog on a walk.
I know, but it only warmed up 1 degree. -10.
Oh, it's -10 now. Awesome.
Perfect temperatures for walkies. Yes. All right, so on to the Candelaria on Love Valley we go. If anyone is looking for us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, our blog, or our website. And we are Latavolamarche. LATAVOLAMARCHE.com.
And if you would like to, please leave a comment or a rating on iTunes where you pick this up. That'd be great. It really helps us get out there and get our name. And if you have any questions or comments or you'd like us to talk about something, you can email us at info@latavolamarche.com.
Yep, or just put it on the blog as a comment or something and we'll reply.
Excellent. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Have a wonderful day. And from frozen central Italy,
it's the Inconsistent Podcast.
It's the Inconsistent Podcast from Italy. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Ciao.